welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Good morning. Good morning. Time goes quick, doesn't it? I thought I was going to get 5 minutes at the end, the way things were going. If I don't get through this morning, I'll try and get another time to finish it. To say, when we were meeting as elders, they were asking me, "What have you got in your heart?" And this is a couple of weeks ago. And the word that God kept giving me, my daughter Abigail kept asking me what it was, and I kept counting her coming here, but it's not the title. Yeah, the title to what I'm going to talk about is called. We are all called to do something for God. And we're all called in different fashions and different ways. But what I want to do, I want to start off where Karen left off last week. She touched on it. And I want to put up Hebrews 11. I started to read this at the start of being called because it's a faith chapter. And for us to be called, we all have to have that measure of faith to step out into a calling. And I want to go through a few verses. For time's sake, I was going to go through a few verses. And in verse 4, it says, by faith. In fact, when I was reading this, I was getting a vision of a gallery when I was reading it. I don't know whether you probably all visit some sort of gallery. And when you walk into a gallery, it's like walking into a complete silence. You could hear a pin drop in a gallery. It's not noisy. And even if there's kids come in, they're shh. It's all quiet. The door opens, not a squeak. It's been well oiled. It closes behind you silently. And then all of a sudden, I step myself into the Hall of Fame. And I'm going to walk through this gallery of the faith, of men and women of faith. And the first picture I came to on the wall was Abel. And it says, by faith, this is a plaque on the wall below Abel. And it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. It went on to verse 5 and walked along, and there was Enoch on the wall. You can probably all imagine these probably men of God. They may have gray hair, big beards. That's probably what you may imagine. But Enoch was taken away. This is the plaque on the wall. You get down, you read what the plaque is. Was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken away. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then you walk a little bit further. You see Noah, a picture of Noah, probably the ark painted in the background. He may have had his sons and daughters and his wife with him. You can imagine these big portraits. You probably went, it's not a small portrait, a massive big portrait on the wall. It says, by faith, Noah being divinely warned, these things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Then you walk a little bit further, and there's Abraham. And here, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he was received as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I spoke on this verse the last time I was up here, speaking to the empty seats. But you imagine, Ken, if he's standing there, he's probably leaning on his rod, looking over an old man. But he's a picture of faith. And then you walk across the room, and then you see probably Isaac and Jacob there. It says that they received the same promise, it says in verse 9. Then the next one down was Sarah. He is the woman of God. And in verse 11, by Sarah herself also received the strength to conceive seed. And then you walk a little further and there's Joseph, probably dressed in a kingly robe with a signet ring on, being second in command. Or he could have been dressed in his lovely robe of many colors. You picture that what way you want, but the plaque on verse 22, it says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made a mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. He basically had a faith. If you read Joseph's life, he had a faith from his dreams that something was going to miraculously happen through, and he trusted God through dreams. And then you go on, you'll see verse 23, Moses, you're just walking through this gallery, completely silent, just you and the pictures, walking through. Moses, he could be standing with his rod, he could be holding his rod up, he could be, probably have the Red Sea parted, he could have been standing with his Ten Commandments, but there he was standing there, and he is in this fifth chapter. And then verse 31 is the harlot Rahab. And then verse 32, it talks about Gideon, Barak, Samson. Can't remember that name. Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And it goes on. Yeah. So there's a lot of people mentioned in the fifth chapter. But I want to kind of keep in your imagination. You're in this gallery. And you walk right through. And there at the end is a frame. I was looking for one this morning with a big question mark on it. And the bottom of the plaque says, by faith, and put your name there. Yeah? You could be one in this gallery. In fact, if you've got faith in God, you're part of this gallery. Yeah? And in that portrait could be what you're doing and what you're called for God. Amen? Verse 32 goes on. Here's some of the exploits they did. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became violent in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Wow. Wow, what exploits at the minute are you looking forward to doing? But it doesn't come without a cost. And it goes on, and it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still, others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Yeah, there was the other side of the calling in their life. Yeah, wasn't all, yeah, we've won the battle. There was the other side. These men and women paid a cost, but they were in faith in God, that God delivered them through it all. Amen? And I just wanted to bring that a little bit further in. That's mentioned as a faith chapter. And yes, every single person in there mentioned had faith, but each of them had a calling on their life. And that's where I want to get to. And I want to turn to, you probably all know and you probably heard and read before, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is the calling of young Samuel. And I want to read through the first 10 verses. So Abigail, you want to put it up. And it says, now the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Go and lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and he went to Eli again and said, here I am, you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called at another time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. You've probably heard that at Sunday school. You've probably heard it preached before going through. But I want to take a few things out of Samuel's life this morning. And if we go back to verse 1, first of all, we noted that the word was rare in those days. Today, we have mobile phones and we have iPads. We do texts, we emails, Google, Facebook. Abigail's been keeping me going the last couple of days of kind of the technology that I know and what she knows and her lot of communication, what these Snapchats and all sorts of stuff. And I there's just so much apps out there and communications. I don't do it all. Yeah, I may be in IT and I may do a lot of different things in here, but I sometimes you're trying to keep up with that is quite difficult. But in those days, there was none of that. And the word of God, it says, was rare. It wasn't something that was always in your face. And I put it this way, there wasn't as much information there as what we have today. I mean, if I was to say to you, where's such and such found in the Bible, you know it in your head, but the first and easiest way to go is, let's go Google it. Yeah, let's get your phone out. You could be anywhere, Google it, and poof, there you go. 10,000 return hits back on that same verse. Yeah? And that's information. At the minute, it's just information. And it's easy to get so much information back, but it's difficult to get the truth, isn't it? You can have everyone's opinion, and you can have their agendas on what they think it is. They can give you their ways of thinking, but it's just information. We are seeking and we're wanting to find the truth. And so if you get your 10,000 hits on one word or one verse, don't always believe what Google says or what you get. Always go back to the Word of God, get your direction from the Word of God, and get what God has for you there. And that's your path to walk in. Amen? So Samuel here, he was in a familiar place. We know that because when he was given across, when his mother gave him to the church, she promised him to the church. The Word of God says he was just weaned. And that would have been probably placed him around the age of 3 or 4 years of age. He was put into the church. So he knew nothing else but the church. He knew how to open the doors. He knew how to greet people. He knew how to bring them across into worship. He knew how to bake bread for the tabernacle. He knew how to follow Eli around. And he knew here the voice of Eli. Because when he heard the first voice of God and he didn't know that was the voice of God, he ran to Eli, thinking it was Eli that called him. So he must have seen that there may have been some sort of familiarization somewhere. He hadn't heard the voice of God before, but he knew Eli's voice. Because Eli was probably saying, Samuel, do this today. Samuel, come here. Samuel, go and do that. Samuel, go and open that door. That's probably what he heard day in, day out from the age of 3 or 4. Now, it doesn't state what age he was when God called him. Some people put him around the age of about 12. But it doesn't matter. God called him at a young age. And first of all, he ran to Samuel. And we can get very familiar these days on different voices. As I say, you can get familiar with just searching the internet. You can get very familiar in hearing or talking to someone and taking their word for it. But we want to get the truth. That's what we want. And it's found in the Word of God. So I've put down here a comment. Samuel knew his purpose. He knew what he had to do in the church. He knew his purpose. But he didn't know his calling yet. He didn't know why he was there. He knew what he had to do. And that's probably a lot probably like what you are today. You know that I come to church every Sunday. I'm probably on a steward team, deacon team. I probably help out when teas and coffees come along. We probably come along and I make phone calls during the week. I make contact with people in the church. I pray for people. And that's probably all that is great, and that may be just somewhere where you fit in, and that may be just a purpose in your life that you like doing and enjoy doing. But that may not be just, that may not be your calling in life. It's a purpose. And this is where Samuel was coming from. He knew exactly what to do. He'd grown up with it. He had walked in it. He knew probably back to front better than kind of Eli's sons. Yeah, he knew exactly what to do. And he was following in the footsteps of the high priest Eli. So here we have heard Samuel, and we've seen and read about Samuel hearing the voice of God. But we want to find this morning, or I want to pray that you find your calling this morning. It's not something that, as we heard in the faith chapter, it may be great, it may be all victory, but there's also consequences come with it. And you've probably heard different preachers saying, go out and find your calling. Find your calling. You need to find your calling in life. And it's not always as easy as just walking out the door and saying, Lord, what is my calling? We are all called, but it's finding that calling. I'm going to make one statement. You may have heard of the preacher Stephen Furtick, and he said this, and I jotted this down, and I thought it was great. And it said, if you serve the purpose of the season that you are in right now, your calling will find you. He put it in a personal way of, if I serve the purpose of the season that I am in right now, my calling will find me. That Samuel was in a place of his purpose. He was in the purpose of the season. He was there in the church. He was dedicating his life to the church. He knew nothing else. But the calling found him. God called him. You may be called in different ways, and this is kind of going off the beaten track a little bit, but you may be calling, your calling may be that you're a husband, you're a wife. That's a calling in itself, because you're taking yourself off a place where, for God's house, into a calling of, I've got to put a different hat on or a different head on and say, I need to be a husband, I need to be a wife, I need to, I think different when I'm there than I do within the church. And trying to split those two, sometimes it conflicts. You may have kids that come along, and you're now being a mother or a father. Again, conflict. You don't just go to your son or daughter and saying, you know, thus saith the Lord, or praise the Lord, or, you know, they probably go on, what are you on about, do you know what I mean? It's a different way of thinking. You may be a manager or a boss. You may be just an employee in a local shop, a shop owner. You may probably make that little, you know, liquid gold that we all drink, that coffee. You may just make that. You may just be a going to school or a going up through into university. You may be a teacher. You may be a pastor, a preacher. You may be doing a DIY, a builder. You have all got different purposes in life. But in those purposes, God may be calling you to stand firm for him in that place, in that time, in this season. Don't think, oh, what am I here for? Why am I here? I want to be like that person. No, God has called you into a place, just like Samuel. He was in the temple. He was there doing his daily chores. But God hadn't called him yet to be that prophet we all know. So each one has a purpose to serve God in different ways. In Romans 8:28, say God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. This morning, ask the question to yourself, do you love God? Do you really love God? In Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If you can answer truthfully that you really love God in that way, then this verse Romans 8:28. It reads this way. You know, God causes everything to work together for good, and you are called according to His purpose. Amen? Amen? So you are in a point where you are called. The Word of God says it. It's finding that calling is the important thing. I want to kind of take you a couple of things for time's sake. Showing you a couple of other men and women in scriptures. Jeremiah, in chapter 1, these aren't on here. I'm just going to go through a few things. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 says, "The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in the mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I cannot speak for you. I am too young." Here's Jeremiah, young boy, and God is calling him to be a prophet to the nations. And verse 10 goes on and says, "Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms." Wow, what a calling at a young age Jeremiah had. Yeah, he tried to argue out of it because he said, "I'm too young." You're never too young to be called by God. Remember that. And here's Jeremiah got put into place of against nations and kingdoms. Jonah, we all probably all know Jonah. In chapter 1, it says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went the opposite way. Don't we just sometimes want to do that? God calls us to do something, and we just say, "No, I'm going this way. That looks like too hard for me. You know, Lord, I can't do this. Either I'm too young, or, you know, Moses complained that he was slow of speech, and I can't do this at the burning bush." But here's Jonah. No, but Jonah did not just argue. He got up and went the opposite way, trying to hide from God also. But we know the story of Jonah. He got on a ship. He got thrown overboard. God sends along a big fish, and that was him in the belly of the big fish for three days. And I'm sure he thought God had disappeared in that day, because God wasn't seem like he was, what he was praying, what he was talking was falling on deaf ears. Nothing was happening. But in Jonah 3, it says, after he was thrown out and onto the beach, onto the shores, the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Aren't we glad that God has a callback? He has a callback. You know where you phone someone on your phone and it's engaged again. It's engaged again. It's engaged again. It's like phone the doctor, isn't it? Can't get through to the doctor. It's engaged, engaged, engaged. And by the 20th time, eventually, oh, it's ringing. It's ringing. Yeah. God is the same thing. God just doesn't ask you once. He can ask you and ask you and ask you until you say, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready for it." And in Jonah 3, it says, the Lord spoke again to Jonah a second time. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." I think Jonah had learned his lesson at this time. It says in verse 3, "This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took him 3 days to see it all." Wow, I think it took him longer to share the message, what God had for that city. Yeah. And then we've got a woman of God. To throw a woman of God in there. Need to throw a woman of God in there. And Esther, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but in one verse in Esther 4:14, it says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time," if you read the story of Esther, she was put into a point where she became Queen Esther. She was at the point with Haman was coming against the Jews, and the Jews were all in a point where they were just going to be wiped out at that point. And verse 14 arises up and says, "For if you remain completely silent," it's talking about Esther, "relief and deliverance will rise up for the Jews from another place, from somewhere else. But you and your father's house of that day were going to perish." this is the bit here I want to get to. It says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. A calling at that point in Esther's life. She wasn't called to go and just have a family. She was called to come through into the palace to become queen, to get to a point where she was going to go in front of the king, who could have just said, nope, sorry, you are coming at the wrong time. Take her out and execute her. That's how severe it was. But the blessing of God was upon her. And when she came, the king says, what is it? What is it? You can have as up to half of my kingdom. Wow, what a blessing there. Don't forget, in your calling, blessing does come. It will come at the end of it. So here, Esther stepped out, probably in fear, knees shaking, going up thinking, it's going to execute me. But it was such a time as this when she stepped out in faith into her calling that God delivered the Jews. And again, Isaiah, wow. I want to take from the life of Isaiah where God doesn't come in thunderbolts. He doesn't come in sometimes in the mountain shaking or in a loud voice, sometimes not in a small voice or a voice like we heard from when he spoke to Samuel. But here it says that in verse 1, Isaiah 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory. Wow, what a calling. What a start of a calling. Imagine you sitting at home and all of a sudden the Lord opens up the heavens and shows you this before he asks you to do something. Wow, he's seeing a vision now and he's seeing the Lord sitting on the throne. He's seeing the angels. He's hearing the holy, holy, holy. And at that stage he just goes, who am I? Who am I? He just felt so much in iniquity and so much in sin. And an angel, automatically knowing what he was even thinking, took a live coal off the altar, cleansed his lips, and says, you're now clean at that point. And then in verse 8 it goes on, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah says, then I said, here I am, send me. It's always a point of when God calls, and we hear that calling, and we understand it's God's voice. That's the bit that you have to decide. Is it a voice in my head? Is it the voice that I'm familiar with? Like if Samuel was familiar with Eli's voice. But is God talking to me? Is he calling me to do something? God always calls you, I've seen in the Bible, into places where it looks to be the impossible. It seems to be a point where I'm stepping into a place where, God, I can't do anything else but trust you. It's a point where if I step into this, I'm not going to be able to do this on my own doing. I can't do this on my own strength. I need you. And it took me back to, which I always kind of thought, you know, it's a great, great prayer, and it's the prayer that we all know. It's the prayer of that Jesus taught his disciples, that our Father who art in heaven. Yeah, in the middle of that says, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a great line. It's a great line. But when I started to read into it, I thought, why thy will be done? If I was to take God's will and God was to tell me what to do every single time, then I wouldn't need him. If he was to say, okay, Graham, I want you to come in this morning. I want you to come in this morning. I want you to come an hour before everyone else, and I need you to kneel at the altar. I need you to pray for this morning's message or this morning's meeting, because that's what I need you to do. That's getting up a bit earlier, coming down, doing that. I would need to draw on God's strength for that, because it's opening up the doors and coming in and than seeking His face. But if God told me to go down in the middle of Belfast when all the clubs and everything were coming out at 11, 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock, and I want you to stand in the middle of Belfast and preach my gospel, that's a bit different. What do you think? Would we all do that? Would we just say, yeah, I think that's for someone else? But if God tells you to go, I've always seen there's always difficult, and it's always a point where if you want His will to be done, then you need to not just follow just a simple plan that you think you can fit into, but always go beyond that, because that's always the point of God's calling in your life. Because God wants to stretch you. God wants to place something deeper in you. He wants to give you a deeper work. Yeah? And remember that when you're called, there's always going to be conflicts. There's always going to be a point where it could conflict with any other purpose in your life. And we've seen this throughout different... I mean, there's so many other examples within in the Word of God. And but even Jesus was called in Luke 2:49. It says, "And He said to them, 'Why did you seek Me? Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?'" So even Jesus Himself was put an example for us. He was called also into His ministry when He was on this earth. Amen? So I want to get to the point where when you hear the voice of God, or you're reading something in the Word of God, or you're in your time of prayer in your secret place, and God tells you to put your face on that frame, I want you to go into that hall of faith. I want you to be there. But it's going to be consequences with it. Are you going to get to a point of saying, first of all, speak, for your servant hears? Are you going to say to Him, "Here I am, Lord. I'm available, Lord. Take the coal off the altar and cleanse my lips, Lord. Send me, Lord. I'm not too young to serve You, Lord. Use me." They're all open-ended statements. And that's when you depend on the Lord, and that's when you step into your calling. Amen? Amen. So for time's sake, I just want to kind of bring you a couple of two other small verses. I'm looking at the time, and it's flying on there. And it says in 2 Timothy 1:9, God has called you into a life of hope. And He says here, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." Amen. It's a point where Timothy is saying, God has called you, not just go and do it yourself. God has called you. And I want to bring a bit of clarity this morning on this verse. You probably heard this verse quite a bit. And it's in Matthew 22:14. "For many are called, but few are chosen." That can be a bit of contradiction. We're thinking, somebody else is called, so let them go and do it. I'll just come to my church every Sunday. I will sit. I will listen to the message. I'll do a bit of praise and worship. I'll go home, and I'll wait till next week. But when I looked into this a little bit further, it reads this way. "For many," I haven't got it up there, "for many are invited, but few are saved." So that word "called" there is not the word "called" as what we're looking at. That word "called" there is, you're invited, but few are saved. This is a evangelical point of view where when you go out and you're talking in your place of work or wherever you are, in your purpose where God has placed you, you are at that point inviting people in. That's where it says called. You're calling people in. You're lifting the phone. You're inviting people into a place where they can be saved. You're talking to them about the gospel. So don't get confused, because that sometimes can confuse you, that you're thinking, oh, only some people are called to do that. Some people are called to stand up on this platform and speak. Yeah. if I was to tell you all about the nerves and what I had and how I went through and how many hours to prepare something to get up here, it's not always easy standing up here. You ask anyone, even ask the pastor, it's not always easy standing up here. There's always a point of kind of nerves, right to the point when you're standing down the back and then you get called up and you're going, it's nearly like that walk from the back to the front, yeah? And you've got that, how do I start this? How do I talk about this? How do you, you know, and I'm looking at the time and the time's going on and have I got enough time to put everything in here? But when you're standing here, this is a point where I'm stepping out in faith and saying, God, this is not me. This is a word for this season for your people. And I want to end with this. God calls every one of his children to live and die with the full assurance of hope. We should want to see the sovereignty of God and be pleased to be used in whatever manner he sees fit for his greatness or his greatest glory. The call of God is effective and it creates what it commands. When you step into God's call, it creates. God creates a way because he's asked you and he's commanded you to go. And you'll see this in any place you read about in the Word. God calls to life. Sorry, God's call to life comes with the power to do what it demands. He gives you power to do it. You stand in his authority to do the calling. You stand with the whole heavenly host behind you. You stand in the authority of the Word of God when he calls you. And it is effective. And last but not least, God's call to life also brings you into eternal life, freedom, and glory. Amen. I want to give an appeal for the last 2 minutes. I just want to pray over you this morning for you to kind of not be fearful to stand into a calling. Some of you may know what your calling is, but I want you to, if you don't know what you're calling in or you're not thinking, what is my calling? How do I get my calling? You know, the Word of God is very clear. It is a point of yielding yourself, opening yourself up, and saying, Lord, use me. And that's what every single one of these people I'm talking about this morning did. From Genesis to Revelation, you will see it right through the Word of God. Not one of them stood out and thinking, I can do that, no problem, I'll go and do that. Every single one of them stood out of their comfort zone. And God met them there, filled them with power and authority, and they stepped into their calling. And I want to pray over everyone that's here that calling will fall on you also and that you will seek for that calling. It's something you just don't sit back on. Like Samuel's point, he was up going right through. He was going through his purpose, but God called him because he had a purpose. And I don't think I wrote down. But when Samuel basically, I think it's in chapter 4, verse 1, I didn't put it in here. Samuel stepped out into his calling and became a mighty prophet. And when he spoke not in authority of himself, but he spoke the words and authority of God. And that's where you need to be today. You need to be to a point where I'm stepping out into a point where I'm not just going to sit in my comfort zone. I want to step out and be used for God.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.